Remain standing, and we're going to read Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. Chapter 4, verse 1 through 11, this is the Word of God. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time. We are gathered here to hear your word. And we thank you that as we hear your word, you cause our faith to grow, that we will be sanctified more and more and become more and more like your Son. Oh Father, as we hear your word, let us see how we are rescued from this world and delivered into your Son's precious kingdom. Let us see what your Son has accomplished, that we may rejoice for that salvation that your Son has accomplished is ours in him. We pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. A very familiar story, a story of our Lord Jesus Christ being tempted by the devil in the wilderness. Luke chapter 4 has the same story, and there it says that Jesus has just returned from the Jordan. Do you remember he was baptized at the Jordan River by John the Baptist? And he came back. But do you also remember there when he was being baptized, the heavens were opened and the Spirit of God descended as a dove on him, and a voice out of the heavens was heard, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Now Jesus Christ must prove himself to be the true Son of God. Yes, he is and was and always the Son of God. But again, he is doing this for you, for me, for his people. He is tested. He is being tempted by the devil for us. as our representative, because he doesn't have to prove anything for himself. And yet, he does this for you. We see another son of God in the Old Testament, the Israel. And that son, Old Testament son of God, he was tested in the wilderness also. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 2 says, "You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you, to know that what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." God tested the Old Testament son of God, Israel, in the wilderness. And what was the content of that testing? Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3b says that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Now, as you know, the Son of God of the Old Testament, he received zero for the test. He failed completely. Do you remember that son? Israelites in the Old Testament, even when God saved him and that he is leading him into the promised land, that Old Testament son, he wanted to go back to Egypt. Exodus 16. Exodus 16 verse 1 through 3. "Then they set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the sons of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departure from the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in wilderness. The sons of Israel said to them, 'Would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. It would have been better for us if we died in Egypt when we were eating their bread and eating their soup. But you had to bring us out here so that we die here.'" But here, in our passage, the true Son of God, Jesus Christ, in the wilderness, he is tested with the same test. But he gets 100. He passes it perfectly. And I want you to remember that he is tested for you in your place. And he triumphs so that we too may be the sons of God. So that we may be the sons of God who now are considered by God as the sons of God who have passed the test perfectly. Verse 2. "And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry." Moses in the Old Testament fasted for 40 days. Elijah in the Old Testament fasted for 40 days. Now the true Moses, the true Elijah, the prophet like Moses that God has promised, the the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, he too is fasted 40 days. And verse 3, and the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. If you are the Son of God. See, Satan understands what happened at the baptism. Remember the voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son. Now Satan comes to him, says, if you are the Son of God, or some translation, which is better, I believe, says, since you are the Son of God. Yeah, if you are Son of God, let me see it. Command that these stones become bread. And verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And we saw already this, the same words in Deuteronomy chapter 8. To put it in a simple form, question is, what do we believe that we absolutely need to live? What is one thing that you must have to live? What do we trust in our lives? What is the purpose? For what do we live? Do we live to satisfy our physical needs? Is that our purpose? Is that the meaning of our lives? Jesus says this in John chapter 6, verse 27a, do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give it to you. Do we live for the wellness of our physical being? Is that what life is all about? Do you think that all those problems that you think you have in this life, if those problems are solved, then your life will be okay? Is it all about eating and drinking? Is it all about how much we have? Is it about eating and drinking well? Do we really die if we do not have earthly food? Is that what you believe, that we will die if we don't eat earthly food? According to the Bible, the real death is eternal separation from God. Oh yeah, this world talks about death also, physical death. But the Bible talks about death as the eternal separation from God. Do we really die if we don't have earthly food? John 11 verse 25, 26, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus said. According to the Bible, you truly die if you do not eat the Word of God. The physical death is not the ultimate death. If you are united to Christ, you will not truly die even if you physically die. The world might think you are dead, but you're not, even if you die physically. But without Christ, one dies the ultimate death. And even if he or she lives physically, he or she is already dead. Even as they eat well and drink well, they are already dead because they are without Christ. What? For what do you live? Every single day you get up. But I ask you, for what do you do that? Satan is so clever that nowadays he makes us so busy that we don't even think about these kind of stuff. We don't even know why we live. We don't even know why we work. We don't even know why we work so hard to get a better house, better car. We don't even know why we do that. I think we better stop. Stop what we're doing and really think about this. What is the purpose? Jesus is very hungry. He has a problem, hunger. So you think that just make those stones into bread and eat, that solves the problem? Do you really believe that is how to solve it? No, that doesn't solve anything. It's not about what we eat, what we drink, what we have. We are not to work for the food which perishes. The daily bread is promised by our God. We are not to worry about what we will eat or what we will drink. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." You are to seek His kingdom and His righteousness, then all these things will be added unto you, God says. But you do not trust Him. Or you are greed. Because what God gives, you're not satisfied. You think that your happiness is in gathering the worldly things more. It really doesn't matter. For me, whether you have so much or so little, it really doesn't matter. What concerns me is that because you have many things of this world, you might think that is the way to happiness. Jesus completely trusts God. Jesus knows that God will provide. He doesn't have to worry about what to eat. He knows he doesn't have to worry what to eat. Even after 40 days of fasting, he understands perfectly that God will provide. He doesn't go into panic. What am I going to eat? Brothers and sisters, I plead with you. You might just hear these things in one ear and let it goes out to other. You might even thinking to yourself, "Oh, Pastor Young, you don't even know what you're saying. You're not even out there in the world." Just understand, if you see what I have to do out there. See, brothers and sisters, I don't have to know. And I don't want to know. I say what the Bible says. And if you don't want to hear God's word, what can I do? But if we want to hear and obey, working for the food that perishes, you are wasting your life. even as you get a bigger house and better car, you are still wasting your life. Seek His kingdom and His righteousness. That is your purpose. And if you are not seeking His righteousness and His kingdom, you are wasting your life. And we're not impressed about your earthly accomplishments. We're truly not impressed. All these things will be added unto you, God has promised. Your focus should never be on these all these things, because the way to get them is to seek His kingdom and His righteousness. I want to save you from misery. That you work for food that perishes, even as you gain more of this world, I will assure you, your life will be miserable. Because for Christians, it is not about this world. Unless you are not Christian, then what can I say to you then? You have to understand, man does not live by bread alone. But we live on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. See, Jesus knows, He understands. And thank God He triumphs over that temptation, and He does that for you and for me. Because if it's left us alone, we will fail, just like the Old Testament son. We will never learn. We'll always keep on believing that we live by bread alone, the bread of this world. But thank God, Jesus Christ, He triumphs over this temptation, and He does that for us. Verse 5 and 6, then the devil took Him into the holy city and had Him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to Him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Again, Satan starts out by saying, if you are the Son of God, or since you are the Son of God. But here is a very interesting thing happens. It's almost comical. Because in the first temptation, Jesus triumphs that temptation by the word of God. And now Satan, he quotes the word of God also. He knows the word of God. Well, he really doesn't know, but he thinks he knows. And I believe here is very important thing here. We see how Satan, using the word of God according to his sinful desire and sinful purpose, testing God with the word of God. But Jesus says in verse 7, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. He quotes Deuteronomy chapter 6. Some churches these days, a theology of claim it. So many churchgoers believe this claim it theology. They said, God said it, and He said to give, so believe and you will receive. Only reason you don't receive these earthly things that God has promised to give you is because of your lack of faith. Claim it. and you will have it. God will give you the world. They test God. They use the word of God for their sinful desires and sinful purposes. You know, how when we call a group heretical, there's so many heretical groups, but there's one thing that is common. They all have the Bible. If they don't have the Bible and says nonsense, we will not care because then it's another religion. We don't care what they say. But they're heretical because they have the Bible. If they don't have the Bible, they're not heretical. They're just different religion. We have to understand the word correctly. That we may not use it to fulfill our sinful desires. We should not, never test God. Verse 8 and 9, again the devil took him to a high mountain, very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. All the kingdoms of the world and their glory. All the things that sinful people desire to have. They want to have the world. And here, Satan shows the whole world, if you fall down and worship me, I will give it to you. Remember the purpose of Jesus' coming. We could say it in many different ways, but we could say that he came to establish his kingdom. Now Satan is in fact saying to Jesus Christ, why the suffering and death? I will give you the kingdom without the suffering. You just bow down to me and I will give you kingdom. Why do you want to take the hard way? Just fall down and worship me. I will give you the world. Avoid the cross. Avoid it. Especially in the light of who you are. You are the Son of God, right? If you are the Son of God, then why the sufferings? Son of God should have all the privileges of this world. Why suffering? Just bow down before me and I make it happen. But our Lord Jesus Christ forsakes this world. Do you see how he forsakes it? And he looks to heaven. And verse 10, then Jesus said to him, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Again, from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Here we see our Lord Jesus Christ as the second Adam, the final Adam. Let us go to 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2 verse 15 and 16. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, look at what he says, for all that is in the world. So the following things are all that is in the world. And there's only three things. Three things exhaust all the things in the world. Right? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. is not from the Father, but is from the world. Do you see how our Lord's temptation were of the same three things? Make stone to bread, the lust of the flesh, showing the glory of this world, I will give it to you, lust of the eyes, and jump down and show the world what you are able to do, boastful pride of life. Bible says all that is in the world, every temptation is one of these three. Every one of them. And Jesus' temptation, exactly those three areas. The first Adam, Adam and Eve, their temptation was the same. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. The tree, the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, they saw, and it was good for food. The lust of the flesh. And it was a delight to the eyes. Lust of the eyes. And just think about what this fruit can make you do. What it will make you able to do. So that you may boast. It was desirable to make one wise. Do you see it? The first Adam, he completely fails. As our representative, he completely fails. But here in our passage, we see the second Adam, the final Adam, in same areas of temptation. He triumphs. And, brothers and sisters, he does that for you and for me. As our representative. Now, before we conclude, I want you to understand at least three things here. First, in our passage, Jesus is tested for us. He is tested in our places. We are not to just learn why here in our passage. We are not to just learn from Jesus what we are to do when we are tempted. That is not the main point. Main point is that he does that for you. Because you are not able to pass this test on your own. Jesus passes it for you. Of course, we are able to learn what we are to do when we are tempted. But this passage is not just saying, look at what Jesus did, now go do the same thing so that you, on your own strength and will, well, a little bit of God's help, win over your temptations. You will fail if that's what you understand from this passage. You will fail miserably. But understand, brothers and sisters, he is going through this testing for you. He triumphs all temptations in your place as your representative. Thus, conclusion, this, very important, thus, his victory is your victory. His victory is your victory. You claim it. And second thing, because he was tempted in all areas of temptation, because all these three is exhaustive, he knows the temptation that you and I face because he experienced it himself. He knows our weaknesses. He went through the same temptations. So he understands you when you go through these temptations. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 18, "For since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted." Since he himself was tempted, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses," meaning that we have a high priest who is able to sympathize, "but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and final grace to help in time of need." So you have Jesus Christ who understands your situation, understands your circumstances. He genuinely knows. And the third thing, as you could see, he triumphs these temptations through the Word of God. He doesn't do any other way. It's by the Word of God. Now, if he triumphs over these temptations through the Word of God, what do you think how you should triumph over temptations if it is not through the Word of God? You have to eat the food that does not perish. There's no other way. If you do not hear the Word of God, there is no hope. And I want you to think this conclusion that I'm going to bring out here. This is something that I want you to truly understand, because here I didn't really go through in detail each temptation, because my whole purpose was something else today. And here is this letter, this conclusion. Like I said before, in Luke chapter 4, same story. But there it says that Jesus is full of Holy Spirit. You know, so many people talk about, you know, full of Holy Spirit. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, here, Jesus says Bible says Jesus is full of Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to understand here that even when you are full of Holy Spirit, you will be tested. You will be tempted. You will go through suffering. Now, so many people say to you that, oh, because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, my life is free of suffering, free of this difficult times. Well, Jesus is full of His Spirit, and yet, what do we see? And do you remember what God has said about Jesus at His baptism? "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then the testing comes. Now don't ever say to those people who go through hardships, don't ever say to those people who are suffering that they are suffering because God is not happy with them. That somehow that is judgment. Don't ever say that. Because God just said to Jesus Christ, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Then right after that, Jesus is tested. He goes through sufferings. Remember that it is not that God has abandoned you when you are being tested, when you are going through suffering. You are His beloved Son. And brothers and sisters, because of it, because you are beloved Son of God, because you are whom God is well pleased, you are tested. And here, Jesus is led by the Holy Spirit. Now my question to you is this. What kind of life is the life that is led by the Holy Spirit? Do you see it in our passage? What kind of life is the life that is led by the Holy Spirit? Suffering. Being tested. Do you see it, brothers and sisters? Holy Spirit coming. You know, we could go on and on with this meaning of what it means to have received the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit comes, and with Him you have received heaven. All the things that belong to heaven, you have received them. And we see that at His baptism, right? And brothers and sisters, see what happens to the man to whom heaven is given. He is led by the Holy Spirit to suffer. This is the test, brothers and sisters. If you are a son of God, the tempter comes, says to you, if you are a son of God, if God has saved you, why are you suffering? Why so many difficult times? Old Testament son, when that question came, say, yeah, I thought we're saved. Why then suffering? So they started to grumble. If you are the Son of God, what do you think will happen to you? Really, what do you think will happen to you because you are a Son of God? Well, look at Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. And when you see what happens to Him because He is the Son of God, you will know what will happen to you because you are the sons of God. Maybe it will be better if you are not saved. Maybe the life that belongs to this world is better. Do you want to go back to Egypt? Do you want to go back? Heaven. What good is heaven when I'm suffering here? What good is heaven if I'm going through all these difficult times here right now? If you are asking that question, you still don't understand the gospel. You still don't know what it is to be a son of God. You still don't know the purpose of your life. Look at Jesus Christ. He is the example. His purpose is to show to the whole world how He is indeed the Son of God. And your purpose is the same. To show to the whole world that you are a Son of God. The sinners, they want things right now and right here. Well, Satan, he is offering that to you. Right now, right here. You just bow down to me right now, right here. Everything is going to be okay. Who is offering that to you? Worship me, I will give you the world. Do you understand? In this context, to want the world is to worship Satan. Do you get it? Romans 8 verse 14, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. It's talking about you. You are sons of God. And you are led by the Holy Spirit. Do you see it? What we are looking at in Matthew 4 concerning Jesus Christ. This is your story. You too are led by the Holy Spirit. You too are sons of God. Now, what kind of life do you think the Spirit of God is leading you to? What do you think? We read that in Romans 8:14. You go down a couple more verses, and it says, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Brothers and sisters, we are indeed led by the Holy Spirit. And just like Christ, in the wilderness, we are tested. Now, we know we're going to fail. And we will fail. But whenever you see how we are utterly failing, come to Matthew chapter 4. The true Son of God, in your place, in my place, instead of us, He passes this test perfectly. He did that for us. And you grab onto that fact, that truth, and you believe that His victory is your victory. And as you believe that you have triumphed over this temptation in Jesus Christ, only then you will be able to triumph in Jesus Christ. You understand, even as you utterly fail, right at that moment you understand that Jesus' victory is yours. And you believe it. You trust Him. And that faith will enable you to imitate Him. That faith, only that faith will enable you to imitate Christ. And only that faith will enable you to witness that reality. It's not your effort. It's not your power. It's not your ability. You will fail if that is what you depend on. Verse 11. Then the devil left him, and behold, angel came and began to minister to him. Do you see it? Do you see? There is end to the testing. There's end to suffering. It is not forever. Your difficult times, your problems, your sufferings, your pain, there's end. It will not last forever. Endure. Hebrews 1:14. Go there. Chapter 1, verse 14. Hebrews 1:14. Speaking of the angels. And it says, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? So angels are whom? They are ministering spirits to serve you and me. Now, verse 11, then the devil left him, and behold, angel came and began to minister to him. Do you see your reality? Our life of suffering will end. And the same angels who blocked Adam from the way to the tree of life, that angel, those angels will come minister us, the sons of God. Just like what you are looking at here. Because we are sons of God also. And in Jesus Christ, you and I will triumph. In Jesus Christ, you and I will have victory in Christ. And when that suffering is over, when that testing is over, when your life is over, your life here on earth, you will see the same thing. The angels, they will come and minister us. Because we too are sons of God. Spiritually, that is already our present reality. You have already victory in Christ. Spiritually, your suffering is already over. I want you to have that understanding. I want you to know that you already have the victory in Christ. We must witness this reality. And 1 John 5, verse 4 and 5, for whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you understand, brothers and sisters? Believe. And who believes, they are the sons of God. And like the true Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, let us also forsake the world and worship our God. And God alone. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son. And we see how the Old Testament Son of God utterly completely fail. And we see in them ourselves. We are not able, God. But Father, we thank you that your Son has come. He came as our representative and in our places. He has triumphed over all the temptations of this world. And he did that for us. His victory is our victory. Let us believe. And with the faith, let us witness the reality that our Lord has already accomplished for us. Oh Father, we long for that day when no one will be able to deny that we are sons of God. For your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, has lived that perfect life for us. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.